Welcome into another great edition of the Sports Club podcast as part of the Impact Media podcast family. Thanks to them as well as Blog Talk Radio for allowing us to come on each and every week and talk a multitude of things. Today, we're going to hit some football. That's pro ranks, of course. We're going to hit some NBA with the Hawks. We're going to talk some MLS. But first, I got to get into this. This is, I'm not going to say mind-blowing because, yeah, it happens in sports. Just to be caught this red-handedly. Yes, I'm talking about the Astros. For everybody who has been under a rock or just may not pay much attention to it, the Houston Astros have been accused by former pitcher Mike Fiers, pretty good pitcher, who won a World Series with him during the year of which he is speaking. He says that the Houston Astros used to keep a camera out in center field that was aimed at the, well, for lack of a better term, crotch area of the opposing catcher so that they could look at the signs. And if it, you know, it would be like if it was going to be a breaking ball, somebody would take a bat or something and make a loud bang in the dugout so that the hitter would know that, hey, a curveball is coming. Or if they didn't hear anything, that might be the signal that it's a fastball. Here comes the heater. What? This is Patriots worthy, for lack of a better way to put it. It's just baffling. Once again, do I think there is cheating and fudging some things here and there in sports? Absolutely. I'm not one of those people that's going to come up here and say, oh, no, everybody's straight-laced. No, of course. I can't remember if it's Dale Jr., but a lot of NASCAR guys will tell you, if you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. If you ain't trying to push the levels just as close as you can, you ain't trying. But this, here's an integrity argument. You know, they had the GM speak because conveniently they are having a GM meeting right now. So he was available to the media. So he says, even though he wasn't dodging the question, well, yeah, he dodged the question. He didn't answer it one bit. He didn't want to play dumb and say no, but he didn't say yes. And he was trying to stay neutral, and he just come off sounding like he is hiding something. I do believe it may not have started at the top, but I think he knew about it. Did AJ Hinch, the manager, know? You would think so. To what involvement they had? I mean, AJ Hinch, one of my favorite managers. I'm not going to accuse him of being a part of this. Maybe a Joe Paterno-like thing where he knew about it. Maybe he said something about it, and they didn't do anything. It's very possible. But for one, I don't know why Mike Fiers decided to all of a sudden whistleblow out of nowhere. But I'm glad he did, because it's going to make light of this. And if they're found guilty of this, which seems like they might be, now you have to talk about punishment. How do you punish the team for doing something like this? Well, suggestions that come to mind and things I've heard from other places. You could take away their top draft pick coming up in the draft. There could be fines or suspensions for all involved parties, including the manager, the GM. Things like that. I don't think anybody's going to necessarily lose their job unless the owner decides to do that. But what could actually happen? I do think you could see a maybe a month-long suspension even for for a GM or a for the coach. I don't know what to do with players because you'd have to find out what you could. What you could actually do. But the fact that they were doing this, the fact it happens to be a World Series year, boy, that really just sends up a lot of extra flags. Mean, some people have suggested maybe taking away the World Series from them. I'm not saying you can't do that. That's a little extreme. Like I said, more than likely, what I could see happening, a giant fine to the team. We're talking, I mean, it could be 500,000 for all I know. A giant fine. I think there would be some suspension here or there. And also, top draft pick being long. I could see those things. I could definitely see those things. And we're going to have to wait and see how this plays out. Because there was already another incident involving the Astros that baseball was about to look into when all of this come to light. So they've already got the scheduled sit down. And now, once they sit down to investigate that incident, they turn around and talk about this one as well. Just for lack of a better term, out of nowhere, out of left field, or really center field, with the way this shaped up this way, and just wow. I just wanted to start with that because it really did just baffle me. Like I said, do I think they're the only team in the league doing something? No, because here locally, the Braves GM got busted for illegal recruiting and things like that. So he's not, I don't think he's, yeah, he's not with the team anymore, I don't think. It's those kinds of things. It's those kind of things. We got to crack down because I think at the end of the day, it is more of a integrity thing. Because you're trying to get people to get more into your sport. You're trying to attract, a younger generation and just other generations in general. And yet, you have a scandal like this. How do you explain this to either a new or a would-be fan? Or how do you explain this to your 8-year-old? Maybe they're an Astros fan. Hey, why are the Astros getting penalized for these things? Well, they cheated. Well, why did they cheat? To try to win. But you said cheating's bad. Well, cheating is bad. Why do they do it? It's a good question. I guess they thought they wouldn't get caught. And outside of Mike Fiers, they probably wouldn't have got caught. But wow, just wow. Let's move on. Let's talk some Falcons, right? I almost played the old Falcons song. Because the Falcons were on top this week, and they beat the Saints in New Orleans, 26-9. I didn't see it coming. And apparently, Drew Brees and the Saints didn't either. They showed a lot of fight. It was close early, and then once they took the lead, they dropped the hammer on their rivals. And yes, it's a rivalry at this point for a good bit of the game. They dominated like we thought they should have all year long. This is the team that we thought we were going to see all year. What's the difference? I don't know, because the only real change they did was shuffle some of the coaches up, one of which was Raheem Morris, going back to his specialty defensive back coach. And guess what? The defense actually made stops, especially the defensive backs. They were making big plays. Imagine that. But just a spectacular, spectacular time. I was never more excited to be wrong. Remember, that was one of the picks. And goodness, the Saints will be fine, but they're going to have to shrug this one off. If you let this one linger, then goodness. Let's go through all the games. Well, we got some news and notes in there too. Cam is officially on the IR. He is considering foot surgery. If I was him, if that's what you need, then Cam, go ahead and do it. Because come February or March, you may have a little bit of input as to where you go. And I do think there are some spots out there that we've talked about a little bit here and there. But let's get to the games from last week. Thursday night football, you had the Chargers 24, the Oakland Raiders 26. Didn't see this happening at all. Chargers had a chance to win it, and once again find a new way to lose the game. Plus, Oakland, man. Oakland. They might be a wild card team. They might actually be the best team in their division right now. A lot of people still say the Chiefs. I would barely give the Chiefs a nod, but if they played right now, which they're going to be playing soon. If they don't play this week, they play within the next couple weeks. It's going to be interesting. But a big win for the Raiders. Kansas City 32, Tennessee 35. Tennessee knocks Kansas City out. Seems like the fun playground game at this point. Who's going to knock them off the slide this time? I'll tell you, it was Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill is underrated, and Tennessee made a good swap. Remember, very early on, I said they're going to win their division, which they could still do. But the key is going to be to know when to swap to Ryan Tannehill and not stick with Mariota if he's struggling. Mariota started to struggle. They left him almost a game too late, but they decided to make the swap. They keep on going. I'm starting to think that Tannehill is actually a pretty good quarterback. He was just stuck with Adam Gase as his coach. I think Adam Gase should be a one and done in the Jets. At first, I thought Miami fans were just a little perturbed that he left them kind of high and dry. But no, I'm actually starting to think that Adam Gase may not be that good of a coach. But big win for Tennessee. Kansas City's got a rebound. Get back on track. Tampa Bay 30, Arizona 27. The Buccaneers win at home. In fact, the home teams did really, really well this week. This might have been Jameis Winston's best performance outside of something at FSU. I'm not even going to make a seafood reference at this point. Jameis Winston played one of the most complete, best games I've ever seen him play. I don't know if it's going to be enough to save his job next year, but he's edging his way into at least getting a sit-down conversation. New York Jets 34, New York Giants 27, Black Cats 106. For the Battle of the Meadowlands, because I'm not saying the Battle of New York, neither one of them play in New York. They play in New Jersey. There's only one team, Buffalo, actually in New York. But in the Battle of the New Meadowlands, it's just amazing when all this Jets talent suddenly plays together in a meaningful way. Are the Giants good? No. Are they bad? No. But the Jets are right in there with them. They've had an abysmal year, but suddenly when it all starts to click, this Jets team is really amazing. They're going to be even better. once they put it all together. I think it's they need a different coach. But not my call to make. The U.S. ambassador to England is the one who needs to make that choice, or his brother. Cleveland 19. They're actually up 7-0 right now on the Steelers. Cleveland 19, Buffalo 16. Gosh, Buffalo, what happened? The first thing I wrote down on this game, how did the Bills mess this up? I'm not saying Cleveland's bad, but once again, this is a winnable game. Bills fans, Bills players, everybody, Bills, this is the games you're supposed to win. This is the game that you're supposed to win. These kinds of games, and you didn't. Now, Baker Mayfield did throw two touchdowns for the first time all year long in the same game. Like I said, he already has one tonight. Or, no, he ran that one in. But two passing touchdowns. He looked pretty good. He doesn't look bad tonight. Baltimore 49, Cincinnati 13. Yeah, we all saw this coming. The Ravens may seriously be the best team in the AFC, maybe the NFL right now. I think it's between them and the Patriots, maybe one or two others. But Baltimore, just complete domination, complete up and down the field, whatever they wanted to do, just complete dominance over a Cincinnati team that is going to look a lot different next year. Detroit 13, Chicago 20. Once again, Detroit, you're in the same boat. How did you mess this up? Chicago does have a great defense, but, no Stafford. So that played a little bit into it. But at the same time, I put the biscuit is golden, not flaky. He had three touchdowns, three passing touchdowns. The biscuit looked good. It's might be one of his best performances. Can he do it again? Let's see next. Miami 16, Indianapolis 12. I just wrote how, and then Fitz is magic again. It's I'm not sure if Miami is actually still trying to tank. At this point, it looks like they're trying to win games. Why? Just because you have the draft capital to move where you may or may not want to doesn't mean they're going to let you do it. I think Indy had Brian Hoyer playing as well. Brian Hoyer's not a bad quarterback. He's serviceable. But having Brissett back will make a difference for that Colts team. LA Rams 12, Pittsburgh 17. Congratulations, Pittsburgh. You're the next contestant on Beat the Rams. The Rams are just falling apart. They, within the last couple of years, they spent a lot of money on high-priced free agents. They've been riding out some of the other contracts. But then they paid Gurley, and he's been a shell of himself. They paid Goff. He's kind of been a shell of himself. Every time they paid somebody, it seemed to not work out for him. And Jalen Ramsey is better than Marcus Peters, but getting rid of Marcus Peters is going to come to bite him maybe pretty soon. At some point, you're going to have to pay Ramsey, though, so we will see how that works. But congratulations, Pittsburgh, who is still trailing the Browns at the moment, almost through the first. Green Bay 24, Carolina 16, in what was one of the most spectacularly beautiful games you could see. Not because of the play, because it started Green Bay snowing. Not just snowing. Green Bay snowing in the middle of the game, and it finished up that way. And it reminds you how cool that venue is, especially when it gets cold like this. But the new Packers team is not always pretty. But a win is a win. They find ways to get it done. They continue to win. They continue to be one of the top teams. Sunday Night Football brought us my Cowboys, who had 24. The only unfortunate thing is Kirk Cousins and the Vikings had 28. The Cowboys lose a duel to the surging Cousins in prime time. Kirk Cousins, he didn't have the world's best day. But at this point, they're asking him not to save the day, but to not ruin it. And he's doing a pretty good job of that. He's actually a good game manager. Makes throws when he absolutely has to. And then Monday Night Football, just a couple nights ago. Seattle 27, San Francisco 24. Was this the best game all year? I think it's right up there. It was one of the most fantastic games I've ever seen. Obviously, neither one of these are my teams, but my goodness. And after that game, if you don't think Russell Wilson should be the MVP this year, maybe you should start watching a different sport, because I don't think you get how this one works. But that was the action all from last week. Some good matchups coming up this week. We will talk about those here in a minute. But first, I want to swap focus to, just some kind of news and notes throughout the sports world. We'll hop back into the NFL here in a second, and then we'll do picks and move on from there. The Hawks, Trae Young is an emerging star. But he just he gets no love from the media and from out-of-town fans. I think it's because of Atlanta. And Atlanta has been down for so many years. And it's such a melting pot, and there's all these, you know, all the random excuses. Well, you notice people that live here, we don't have those excuses. It's the outside people who are giving these excuses. Like I said, Trae Young, the way he is developing, he takes over games. He makes just spectacular. He makes spectacular passes, plays in general. He can shoot from about every place that Steph Curry can. And he's getting some pieces around him that, you know, I talk about him each week, that it's just exciting. Now, they got a game coming up in a day or so where they're going to play the Lakers. I want to see how he matches up with LeBron. I didn't get to see it last year. I'm gonna definitely be watching the game to check that one out. But I just wanted to say, you know, Trae Young is an emerging star. Like everybody says, would you rather have Zion to start your team with? Would you rather have the Dallas Mavericks guy, Luka Doncic, or would you rather have Trae Young? And nobody says Trae Young. Clearly, you're not watching this kid play. Because I know they're saying, well, Zion's going to marketing and all this kind of stuff, and Luka's just an all-around great player. Well, Trae Young can go pretty much shot for shot with him and play for play with him, too. So, but just got to give the hometown hero here a little bit of a nod, because he's not getting it from other places. So Trae, you're on friendly ground here. Love to have you on the show. Have your people call my people. Cy Young, we had Verlander had his second in 8 years, and DeGrom is the back-to-back winner. It's hard to argue either one of them. DeGrom ran away with it in the National League. And, you know, the Mets also cleaned up as they had the Rookie of the Year as well. But, Verlander is going to have to look at some interesting things, too, because he's part of that Astros squad. Got some Atlanta United news. Talk some MLS Cup here after that. Darlington Nagbe has been traded from the Atlanta United to the Columbus Crew. Basically, this opens up an international spot and frees up $1.05 million in allocation money, which will help the team. This is how I describe it to some good friends of mine that are big soccer. Atlanta United is actually, talent-wise, becoming very, very crowded. What I mean by that is the team is full, even all the way through the bench, of potential starters. Plus, you got the ATL UTD2, the twos, as they call them. And there's a small handful of them that could start on MLS teams. And you can't keep everybody. And soccer is a sport where players come and go a lot. So, you know, you can't get mad if your favorite player gets shipped out. It's just part of the business and part of the way it goes. And it comes down to, do you want to give somebody else the opportunity Or do you want to pay more money to a bigger star? And in this case, they decided to go in a different direction. Nagby, it's not that he wasn't a fit. He was a great player. Appreciated all that he did for the team, but it was time to move him and to move on in a different direction. So that's what the team did. MLS Cup, you had the Seattle Sounders versus Toronto FC. Seattle wins that one 3-1, where Kelvin Leardrum in the 57th, Raul Ruy Diaz in the 90th, Victor Rodriguez in the 76th, and Josie Altidore in the 93rd for Toronto. Seattle earned this one. By the time they put that one on the board, that first one in the 57th minute, you could tell they had all the momentum, all the excitement, all everything, and Toronto was throwing everything, including the kitchen sink, at them, and just couldn't make any headway really. But fantastic MLS year. I was lucky enough to go out and catch a game. I watched a lot of them on television. Talked to you guys about them as we run into you guys. I mean, if we see at the Georgia State game this weekend, you want to talk a little soccer? I'll talk some soccer with you. I have no problem. It's not, it's, well, we're at a football game. No. We'll talk whatever. You guys see us, you know how it works. Last thing before we get into the picks. The NFL is doing a curious thing on Saturday, right here in Atlanta, actually at the Falcons facility. And it's closed. It's a closed event. Don't even try. I did. Even media is closed off too. They are doing a Colin Kaepernick showcase to which all the teams are invited. Here's the weird thing. Even his people, this was kind of new to them out of the blue nowhere. And they suggested why not a Tuesday, which is easier for everybody else. Could accommodate everybody that wanted to potentially be there, send somebody there of the 32 teams. Nope, still on Saturday. I don't know when Saturday. It's probably, in the Falcons facility is what I'm told. A handful of teams have already said they're going to send people. A handful of them have said they're not. But I think this is the NFL's way of going, look, we'll get you an open tryout with whoever wants to show up. That's the best we can do. And it's beyond time. It's beyond time. Whether Kaepernick or any of his friends, family, or entourage ever listen to the show, we always defended him as far as his message. We just did not necessarily agree with the method. But he felt like his voice wasn't being heard, and he did what he had to do to get it out there. Not saying I completely agree with everything he did, but he got his message out there, and more respect to him for that. He has waited out this storm, and maybe somebody gives him a look. I really honestly hope they do. I'm not saying you have to hire this guy because I haven't seen him play, but if he's even remotely good, you got to give him a chance here. Even this late in the season, some of these teams, need to at least give him a look. But that's going to be this Saturday. Like I said, good luck to you, Colin. If you ever want to be on this show, just simply hit us up. And I'm going to throw this out on Twitter as well. But Colin, after your showcase, you should stick around Atlanta and watch the Georgia State Panthers take on the Appalachian State Mountaineers. It's going to be a fantastic Sun Belt matchup. And I can't guarantee that I can get you a pass, but if you hit me up, I can see what I can do. Let's get into my picks. Let's get out of here for the night because this game is just picking up in the second. Still 7-0. Cleveland on their opening drive of all things. Picks from last week. I didn't do so good, but I nailed the best game. Same thing happened to me in college with my college picks. I told you to take the Chargers over Oakland. Nope, they found a way to lose that one. Good job to Oakland. Told you to not take the Falcons and to take the Saints. Whoops. Didn't see that coming. Told you to take the Rams over Pittsburgh, and Pittsburgh found a way to come back and do that. Because you got to think, this game tonight, both these teams have got to have it. Pittsburgh needs it to stay in potential contention to maybe still be in the playoffs. The Browns need it just to have a decent season. But Pittsburgh finds a way. And then I told you to take Seattle over San Francisco. You're welcome. I had a feeling about that one. That's back-to-back. I've told you when a undefeated team is getting knocked off. So here's this week's games. I got Jacksonville going to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. This division is still just completely wide open. I still say Tennessee is going to somehow win the division. But I'm going to tell you, I think Brissett is going to play. Take Indianapolis. I do like Nick Foles in Jacksonville, and he's going to do some good things. It's going to be a really tight game. We're talking, 24-20, something like that. But take take Indianapolis in that one. At Atlanta at Carolina. Well, now here it lies the situation. Is the Atlanta team from last week or from all the previous weeks going to show up? And then with Carolina, is the Kyle Allen-led team for the last couple weeks going to show up, or the one that did last week where they kind of struggled? I'm going to go out on a limb right here. I don't know why. I'm going to tell you to take the Atlanta Falcons. I feel like they're going to have a better day than Carolina. Houston at Baltimore. I really like Houston, but I'm taking Baltimore. It's ride or die with Baltimore to me. I think they're the most complete team. They are running the ball whenever and however they want to. And as soon as you think you got them, they're going to throw a pass over the top of your head. Take Baltimore in that one. And then New England at Philly. I would love to tell you that I think New England's going to get dropped again, but they're not. Philly is good. I don't think they're quite good enough to beat New England right now. Take New England on the road. For the first time in a while, I am split on home and away picks. To recap, take Indianapolis at home versus Jacksonville, take Atlanta on the road in Carolina, take Baltimore at home versus Houston, and take New England on the road in Philly. That's all my picks for this week. We got into some good stuff. Hopefully we'll get into some good stuff again down the road. But I am Jeremy the Impact York. We will see you next week. Go Falcons. All the shorties in the-